Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dan Devine, Yahoo Sports, NBA senior writer, joins us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dan, thanks for joining us. We do appreciate you. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing good. We're excited, Dan, for the series. The Miami series was kind of meh, although it was fun to watch the Cavaliers blow another team out, especially Miami. But we're really looking forward to the series. We think this is just going to be a grinding series and what should be some great basketball. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs did everything that you could ask for in that opening round series, right? You didn't see a single, kind of crack in the armor. You saw a team that was extraordinarily...
Oh, Danny there?
I'm here.
Oh, Dan, sorry about that. We had something... Or crackle in the phone line. Go back. I'm sorry. Finish what you were just saying.
No, okay. You guys do hear me now?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, great. You saw an extraordinarily serious-minded team that was like, we are not wasting any time. We are not skipping any steps. We are just going to put the hammer down. I think you're going to see a stiffer level of competition in Indiana, rather. The ability that they have with Tyrese Haliburton on the floor to stretch you out, spread you out, have a lot of different opportunities to score on you defensively. They pose a lot of challenges there. And I think the thing that a lot of people might not be as aware of if they haven't paid a lot of attention to the Pacers this year, because they haven't gotten a lot of national TV time when they're not fighting with people's dads and stuff, is that they are a better defensive team. We maybe think about last year's squad that went to the NBA Cup Finals or the in-season tournament final, and it's like they were all gas, no breaks, no defense. This team, much better balanced. They've found... with Andrew Nembhard at the point of attack, Aaron Nesmith back on the wing for them, Miles Turner defending the rim, and they've got sort of more depth, more bodies on the wing. They were a near top 10 defense, I believe, for the last 50 or so games of the season. So you're seeing a better balanced team that's got a high-end offense, and I think that should prove to be a really strong test for the Cavs. But I think the general sort of top-line takeaway here is the Cavs have shown an ability all season long to say, like, what don't you want to do? We're going to hammer that. Where's your weak point? We kind of don't have one. We feel super comfortable playing. We can play big. We can play small. We can play, stretch the floor and play five out. We can play with a center rolling to the rim and shooters. We can, we have lots and lots of options, especially after the trade for DeAndre Hunter. You can afford to have Darius Garland, not be available. Throw the keys to Ty Jerome for a little while. There's just so many different ways to beat you. I think you're sort of looking at the Pacers might be like a B-plus version of what the Cavs have been, but the Cavs are the A version of that. So it's stylistically, they're fairly similar in the way they want to attack and in the way they use their depth, but the Cavs have just been a higher-end squad all season long. So my expectation heading into the series is you see the Cavs prove that. Obviously dependent, I know you guys were talking about before I got on, Darius Garland's health. You want to be, I know there's reported concerns about his availability for game one. You want to see everybody at full strength, but the Cavs have shown themselves to be the class of the conference, and that's sort of, I think, the expectation heading into this series.
Dan, really good insight there. I'd like to talk, before we break down the matchups, so let's talk about the coaching matchup here. In Rick Carlisle, you have a NBA championship pedigreed coach, And you've got Kenny Atkinson, who doesn't have quite as much postseason experience, to say the least. So how do you think that factors into what we're going to see over the next week or so?
Honestly, I don't know that the high level top, you know, like at the championship in the finals level experience is different. But Kenny Atkinson's also been around forever. You know, he started out with Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta.
Right.
Or actually before that, even back in New York as a developmental coach, and has been around postseason basketball for decades now, has been a veteran of multiple long runs. Right before he took over the Cavs, obviously, he was with Steve Kerr in Golden State. So a lot of familiarity there in terms of what it takes. And I think just the general sort of philosophy of basketball. He knows what he wants his team to be. And I think the idea of, I would be surprised if you saw Kenny Atkinson kind of like flinch or blink in terms of what stylistic adjustments you would need to make in the series. I don't think he's going to be too clever by half and try to like get Indiana off on the wrong foot by changing away from what the Cavs have been successful with.
Right.
I think it's a lot more like, I got a 99 mile per hour fastball. Show me you can hit it before I worry about the off speed stuff. But I think Kenny Atkinson has pushed pretty much every right button you could ask for this season. Obviously, he's been the beneficiary of a level of health that last year's version of the team, JD Bickerstaff's last crew, did not have. But everything you could ask for in terms of reimagining the style of play and putting that team in a position to maximize the talent. I think he sort of checked every single box this season. So it'll be a great test, though. Yeah, you're right to note, Rick Carlisle is an awfully creative thinker, especially on the offensive end of the floor. He's somebody who has problem solved in real time against multiple high-quality opponents, was able to, with the way that they coach their depth, right, and be able to play like everybody at a high level, but also not get the minutes up high, similarly to what Kenny Atkinson has done in Cleveland this year. They're able to press in the backcourt. They're able to run their guys out defensively and sort of put extra stress on ball handlers, try to get you deeper into the shot clock. We saw that pay dividends in the series last year against the Knicks in the second round, where by the end of the series, Tom Thibodeau's guys were all in traction and the Pacers were able to run roughshod over them by game seven. So there are going to be some challenges that Indiana presents in that way. But and Rick Carlisle, the way he's philosophically moved that team certainly is a big part of that.
Dan, I love the way you broke down both coaches, but I also like the thought of these two coaches going ahead. You know, we spent so much time talking about players going up against players, but in this series, like, we were kind of kicking this around. What is a coach worth? And is it worth a game? Is it worth two games? Like, you know, you kind of look at it because this is a good matchup of two very good coaches.
Absolutely. And I mean, the answer that you wind up getting, sometimes you don't arrive at it until it's, you know, 11 seconds left and it's, you know, do, yes, or it's, you know, three minutes left. And do we challenge that? Right. Or, you know, do we have the confidence in saying, okay, the most important defensive player on our team just picked up his fourth early in the third. Do we trust him to ride it out? Like there's all those tiny micro decisions. It's not necessarily always, you know, how do we juggle the matchups on the pick and roll? Or do we try to have this person guard that person to junk up their offense? Sometimes it's that stuff, but sometimes it's those micro decisions moment to moment and whose blood pressure doesn't rise, whose heart rate stays steady. I think sometimes you don't know the answer to that until you actually see it. But we've seen Rick Carlisle, go all the way. We've also seen Rick Carlisle's teams come up short. We haven't gotten as much of a track record with Kenny Atkinson, but I think what we've seen from Kenny Atkinson in the big chair this year has been awfully promising.
Dan, I liked your 99 mile per hour fastball metaphor there. What do you think? What is the Cavs? What is the Cavs heater? Is it with? Is it Mobley and Allen out there? Is it that group? And in terms of the chess moves that the Pacers and Carlisle are going to make, are they going to try to get Cleveland out of that? You know, try to bring those bigs away from the goalkeepers, if you will, bring them away from the basket.
I mean, yeah, like, listen, why not, you know, don't mess with what's been working. You know, the Cavs have had the best offense in NBA, or the most efficient offense in NBA history while playing two bigs, and have been elite defensively with both Allen and Mobley out there. They figured out, obviously the chemistry and the amount of reps they've gotten together, they figured out how to play off of one another on the offensive end. And Atkinson's ability to say, we're going to move Donovan and Darius off the ball a little bit more, put the ball more in Evan Mobley's hands, trust him as a decision maker. It creates more problems for the opposing defense by having to guard those guys away from the basket, and also gives more provides wider driving lanes, more opportunities to get downhill for Mobley. And then they're both great passers and really instinctive movers in terms of what Mobley and Allen do off of each other. So I think, to me, it would be, yeah, don't get too cute early. Let's find out if our five can beat your five. You need to prove to me that we can't, that you're going to be able to adjust off of that. I think the matchup is interesting with, because it's sort of similarly styled, where Pascal Siakam is, you know, he's a shorter version of Evan Mobley, but similarly, he can play inside out. He can play on the block. He can play in the isolation, sort of mismatch hunting game, bully ball, get guys down to the paint, and also versatile and moves around great on defense. So you can sort of move him over to a perimeter player or have him body up a big on the block. And then while Jared Allen doesn't shoot threes like Miles Turner as the floor spacer does, both obviously critical rim protectors at sort of the last line of defense very often for the teams where they want to funnel the ball into him and sort of let him be the one who can say, all right, you know what, give that guy baseline, let him drop step. I'm going to be over there to swat it or swallow him up, and we're going to create a turnover. And so moving him out of the paint is going to be critical for Indiana. But I mean, Tyrese Halliburton, similarly to Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, one of the premier pick and roll operators in the league, high volume, high efficiency, somebody super comfortable at being able to draw a mismatch out and then try to isolate, shoot a three, or get downhill and create for somebody else. So I expect the Cavs to, or the Pacers to try to get Jared Allen out into deep water, sort of force him to show that he can hold up against Halliburton. But the Cavs have also been super comfortable with he switching him out a lot. They know they've got another rim protector and as a defensive player of the year behind him. So I think that it's going to be an interesting matchup to see who can sort of make the other team feel uncomfortable. But what we've seen now, and it's because it's year three of this, that Cavs front court has gotten really comfortable playing in adverse situations, being forced to guard out in space, both guys. And I think, if I'm Kenny Atkinson, I'm saying, prove to me you're good enough to make this hurt for us, and then we figure out where we go from there.
Dan, it's interesting when you live in Cleveland, because you're always waiting for the bottom to fall out. And, they had a great season. They're the top seed in the East, and we all want to kind of buy into the fact that the Cavaliers should be able to win this series. But, there's a lot of, obviously you have to respect Indiana. Look how far they went last year. Look at the changes they've made to be a little bit more defensive-minded to help them succeed throughout the season. How confident should Cavalier fans feel? I don't even want to ask about the fans. Let me ask you this way. Who do you like in this series, and what do the Cavs need to do to win?
Yeah, I like the Cavs in this series. I mean, obviously the big question is, how are you going to get 100% of Darius Garland, and are you going to get him the whole way? That's obviously an inflection point, because there's no good time to lose an all-star point guard and somebody who's as effective off the ball and as comfortable, as not elite a shooter as Garland is and has been. But I think that what we see, I'll go back to that sort of point of, the way I put it earlier. I feel like this is a B plus version versus an A version of a team. I think stylistically and structurally, you're talking about two teams that want to be able to get up and down. They want to play at a quicker pace. They beat you with the pass. We're going to break you down off the dribble. And then we've got four guys, or however many guys, that we trust to do that, where if we get them the ball, we're going to be able to get them into space and create. And then it's going to be kick out, spray, swing, and we're going to get a great shot out of it. And then on the defensive end, we're going to try to use our collective, point of attack, defensive acumen, our switchability, our wings, our depth, and we're going to try to force you to, or we're going to make you feel us on the defensive end of the court. So you've got two top 10 caliber defenses with real rim protection behind it and some versatility on the wing. So I think stylistically, it's not like you're looking at one team that wants to just pound it in the post and another one that wants to shoot 83s. You've got sort of similar styles, and I feel like that structural matchup, I don't know that that Indiana has the overall talent to be able to outpoint the Cavs that way. I think you're talking about maybe the story might be different if you're talking about full health, full tilt Celtics. But I think in this series, I don't see Indiana having the overall level of talent to be able to keep up with the various ways that Cleveland can break you down. So I wound up not writing the preview for the series. My colleague Ben Rohrbach wrote about that at Yahoo Sports for us. I don't remember off the top of my head what Ben picked. My initial reading, though, would be Cavs, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was quicker rather than longer.
Dan, both teams have interesting pieces coming off the bench. And in Cleveland, they have the spark plug in Ty Jerome. Can you speak about T.J. McConnell and what he means to this Pacers team?
He means an immediate injection of annoyance. That's the top thing you got to think about T.J. McConnell. Because what he's going to do when he gets into the game is he's going to pick up your opposing ball handler the full 94 feet. He's going to start by trying to steal the ball on the inbounds pass. Like literally on the first inbounds pass, he's going to go try to get it. And then he's going to make you turn. He's going to try to shag seconds off the clock. And that's something that I feel like, I mean, I got to see it up close and personal here in New York, both in this Pistons series, but then also last year against the Pacers. Every second you take off the clock before you can get them into the front court or get before the team gets into their offensive set, it's a win for the defense, right? It bleeds out the clock. It makes it more likely that the opponent is not going to get into a good action. And if you can blow up one action, you're probably going to get them deep into the clock where they might have to throw up a grenade. And so he immediately increases the level of pressure on the defensive end. On the offensive end, just because he's not a high-volume, high-efficiency three-point shooter, that does not mean he is somebody that is not a dangerous person on the offensive end. I don't know how T.J. McConnell as consistently gets into the paint as he does off the bounce, but he is somebody who is a relentless driver. He is somebody who gets into the lane. By the end of the series, you will be absolutely furious every time you see him get to like 9 or 10 feet and pull up for a little runner or a little floater. He gets there constantly. And then once he draws that, eventually he makes enough of those. The low man is going to have to come up and step up to stop the ball. He's got great vision, great touch in terms of being able to find either, a lurking big man like an Obi Toppin for a lob or Jarris Walker, another one of their reserve front court guys, cutting in for a dunk or a layup or spraying out to the shooters on the perimeter. He is high efficiency. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He creates extra possessions on the defensive end, and he makes his two-point shots inside the arc at a really high level. So he's the kind of guy that's easy to sort of sleep on when you think about the high volume, high efficiency, big point scoring point guards in the league. But in terms of guys that come off the bench and that just give you consistent, reliable two-way minutes every night, he's one of the best in the league, and he's a difference maker.
Dan, last question. You got about 60 seconds. What does home court advantage mean other than just game 7?
Well, I think first off, it means everyone gets to see the diff. I'm a big fan of the diff. I love the diff. Seeing that up. What it means is you get first crack. You make them uncomfortable. They've got to come in. Your series got wrapped up faster. Theirs went a little bit longer. You've been in your home bed, the whole time. They got to come into you. And obviously, I mean, I've been in Cleveland. I've been there for the finals. I've seen what that crowd can get like in big games of consequence. I don't know that I would expect Indiana to get rattled, but I also saw the Pacers struggle at times in New York last season with big, loud rock and gym. I think that can be super important, especially early in the series. You want to make sure you get those first two and then force Indiana to play off the back foot back at home where you can then go try to grab a split and close it out in 5.
Dan, thank you. I'll see you in remedial math class with me. Thank you. I appreciate that.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the series.
Thank you. We're reading the Yahoo Sports. Thank you, Dan. Great stuff.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's been news all day. What a blast. This has been a lot of fun.
Fun for me.
We still have two more segments.
What about you? I'm having a great time.
I don't want to put the show out to pasture yet, but it's been great. We've talked about so many great things, and we've had some big-time guests with us today, too. Dustin Dupirak from the Indianapolis Star. I don't know why I can't say Indianapolis Star today, but he's their Pacers beat reporter. He gave us a great breakdown.
Indy Star.
The Indy Star.
That's all you need.
Yeah, the Indy Star. Hey, yeah. Who was the... Oh, why am I forgetting? Bob Kravitz.
Yeah.
You know Bob at all?
Long time.
Yeah, you know, when he was here, was he at the press?
Don't know.
I can't remember if he was at the press when he was here or was at the Plain Dealer. And when this station used to be a rock station in the late 80s, I was an intern, and it was 92Q at the time.
Okay.
And our morning show at the time, Tom Kent, rest his soul, TK, there was a show called TK and the Bear that was on here. And Kravitz was like one of the first columnists that I ever heard do a radio bit. And they brought him on, and they were like, if you like Bob Kravitz in the paper, you'll love him you on the radio. And then we watched him kind of, you know, take off. And
yeah.
He was like one of the early columnists that kind of got it from a multimedia standpoint. Good guy. A lot of fun. I'll never forget working with him. I don't even know where I was. Oh, you said Indy Star. That's right. Dustin. Yeah. So, Dustin, so we had that interview today at 11. And then at 1 o'clock, Dan Devine joined us from Yahoo Sports. He's their NBA senior writer. What'd you think about what he had to say? Both those guys had a lot to say. I will say that.
Yeah, I think they're painting the series the way you and I see it, Andy, which is it's going to be a struggle. Like, I don't see this being quick.
I don't want it. I want it to be like Miami. I mean,
of course
I'm, like,
you do.
I'm dying for that because I want all the naysayers to be like, oh, I guess I was wrong about the Cavaliers.
I saw the broom in the corner over there. I know you're trying to. It's not even subliminal.
I got news. My wife will tell you. I don't know what a broom is. So.
But I think they see it the way we do in that it's going to be a matchup of the coaches, right? You know, here's my move. What's yours? I think home court, obviously, it's always important. That goes without saying. Cavs need to get off to a good start. I brought up with Dan, I brought up T.J. McConnell because – boy, he is an annoyance. That guy is just a pest. And has he made a career for himself in the NBA? I can remember one national writer saying to me years ago that they felt T.J. McConnell was the worst player in the NBA. And I kind of looked at him like,
wow.
Okay, first of all, I think you're wrong because I saw him play at Arizona, and he's a competent player, and he's improved. And I agree with Dan too. It's like uncanny the way he finds his way into the lane. He's just got a good knack for playing. I think much like Ty Jerome.
I was going to say, isn't Ty Jerome for everybody else?
Same kind of guy, yeah. Kind of stays within himself. Knows his abilities, knows his liabilities, knows what he does best, fits within the team scheme really well. You know, plays defense, well enough. But with Ty Jerome, I don't think what people appreciate about him is he's a big dude. Like, he's a lot bigger than you realize. He can go out there and he can guard bigger guards than him only because he's got the size and he's been terrific all year. I don't have to say that to Cavs fans. He's been
But now the rest of the league gets to see it.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they may have got bits and pieces of it, but what he did against Miami was unbelievable.
Well, and to Dan's point too, they're finally going to get to see the Pacers, a team that is rarely on national television. So I like that from that standpoint. Two very similar markets with a little bit of a basketball history to both of them.
The other thing that started off strong, because they didn't lose when he first got here, and kind of was a storyline, but it's kind of been an underlying storyline, is DeAndre Hunter. And we just, this is a series where I think his impact, where they say, first of all, the games during the regular season, the early games sort of mattered, and the late games didn't mean anything. They were garbage games.
Right.
So, and I'm just wondering, what DeAndre Hunter's impact is going to be in this series. We spent a lot of time worrying about Evan and Jared or Darius and Donovan, but I'm curious what kind of an impact Hunter's going to have in this series and how big of a move it was, because I think now is when you pay all the dividends from the trade.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't know if Kenny will put him on Haliburton, but I think it's one of the options that he's got, right? Hey, we've been screaming for years here about the need for a wing forward, a two-way wing. And so now they finally got it in the games that matter most. So I think you're going to see a lot of DeAndre Hunter.
I think the other storyline that is there that we don't really dive into too much is the ability to put together a championship team or a team that can contend for a championship without LeBron James and how important it is to the organization. I think it's bigger to the organization than it is to the fans or anybody else. But you've got to believe in independence. They're sitting out there going, we can do that. And they've done it since the day LeBron walked out the door twice, tried to rebuild this thing. Yeah. And by the way, even if LeBron wouldn't have come back, I don't know if they would have won a championship, but they were trying to do the best job possible. Because, I mean, Dan Gilbert doesn't sit.
And it's been a source of pride this year, I think, in these guys and wanting to do it without him. I think we're on the same brainwave here, Andy, in that Donovan Mitchell, this is when your superstars have to step up. You saw that moment in game two.
Right.
I mean, he carried them down the stretch of that game, and he's going to have to do it again because it's only going to get bigger. Let's go to look what Jalen Brunson did last night for the Knicks. That's what superstars do, and that's the moment.
But I also think the part about Garland's game that is the most impressive is that he's learned to do it since Kenny came in. That just seems like there aren't two or three guys trying to fight over the ball anymore.
No, that's true.
And when he decided that, you know, his shot, that the number of shots he was going to take was going to be lowered a little bit, everybody benefited. And, you know, when the opportunity is there for him to be the superstar, it's there.
Darius, you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's also...
Well, both those guys in some ways.
Well, that's what I was going to mention was that I think that's got a lot to do with Donovan empowering and making Darius feel comfortable in that role. Like, right, he heard all summer what we all did, which was, oh, let's trade Garland because you can't, you know, there's only one basketball out there and you can't have both these guys. Kenny Atkinson has figured out the way for both of them to play together, but it's also been incumbent on both of those guys learning how to play with each other, and they've done that. So, that's
wasn't
that's
huge. Wasn't that the interview, though? Isn't What's that how that? He got the job?
Who, Kenny?
Somebody had to explain to the front office that believed these guys could play together.
100%. Same with having Mobley and Jared Allen out there at the same time. Those were tied together. Yeah. So, and listen, what Kenny Atkinson has done in his first year here is nothing short of remarkable. Granted, he inherited a really good situation. And in Donovan, he's got a guy now who's not worried about where his next move is or what have you. So he's settled.
I don't feel like he came in on third base, though. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, not at all. No.
And
well, first of all, he's earned this spot, and he got the short end of the stick and a raw deal in Brooklyn.
Right.
I mean, that was terrible what happened to him. He had the humility to kind of sit back, realize that he maybe needed to learn a little bit more, went out and learned under Steve Kerr for 3 years, and it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, ask Mike Brown, got another shot too, doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I just...
And I think, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I think Dan Devine made a good point as well in that, you know, you don't expect Kenny to be overwhelmed by this moment either because he's got plenty of basketball experience. He's been on plenty of staffs. He's seen plenty of postseasons. He knows about matchups. He knows what he's got to do to get his team ready.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Cavaliers, and we'll do that when we come back here. This show has just absolutely flown by today. If you want to hop in, there have been some folks that have been on the line. We're going to try to get you on to 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps with Tom Withers.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.